video games, movies, comics,
podcast from Oscar Mike Media.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 17 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. I'm always your host Chris Lipscomb. I'm joined as per normal by head dude for the whole of Oscar Mike Media and editor-in-chief over at thesixaxis.com, Peter Chapman. Say hello, Peter.
Hello, you shower of bastards.
As you can tell, Peter's swearing, therefore obviously Lewis is unfortunately still off sick. Sadly, his kidney stone has not managed to extradite itself from his body just quite yet, so... He did want to come on, but I told him he was a fucking idiot.
I'm quite upset too, Chris, because I didn't get my full title.
What was your full title? I'm sorry, what did I miss?
I'm Peter Chapman, editor of thesixaxis.com.
Yeah.
Managing director of Oscar Mike Media.
Yeah.
Bringer of chaos and destroyer of worlds.
I'm terribly sorry for missing that out. It's an easy oversight to make.
Yeah. Just be careful in future.
All right, I'll do my best. Is this what you got from the Queen, like when Will Wheels got married? Became Duke of Cambridge, and yeah. She declared you Bringer of Chaos.
Yeah, he's Baron Carrickfergus, and I am Destroyer of Worlds.
Seems fair. So as per last week, filling in again for Lewis, stepping into his very large shoes, we have the quite wonderful Mike, I've always known as Buddy My Mike. Say hello, Mike.
Good evening, mine bitches.
Oh, lovely.
I'm going to put on a German accent. I was going to put on a German accent all evening just to go with the whole royal theme. I'm so sorry about that.
You failed quite.
Everything I was about to say, Chris, was going to be inadequate compared to Peter's whole harbinger of doom and all that bollocks. I mean, what can I say?
There is nothing you could say. I permanently feel inadequate to Peter, so it's no big deal.
Oh, it's like the showers after PE.
I was just going to say fun at the urinals.
No, Peter has this actual thing called motivation, whereas I kind of just flop and laze about and go, I guess I should write something for the site. God, there's so many things impending.
Well, motivated people do wonderful things, but they usually just die young.
Yeah. And as Peter has discovered from several years, I'm just very angry at the minute, which Davs has decided is because I'm eating healthily and have kicked my Coca-Cola habit.
It's withdrawal.
It may well be withdrawal because I haven't had any caffeine in about 3 or 4 days now.
Wow.
Which is
not
good.
My friend tried that recently and the headaches he had were stupendous. And he noticed that he couldn't work at the same speed he's been used to working for years. So he thought he'd basically take one for the team, die a little younger and get back on the caffeine. He simply couldn't cope.
I had a fucking terrible headache this morning. The kind where, you know, you're just like, at any moment, you're about 5 seconds away from throwing up when it's just a headache that bad. That's kind of how I felt this morning. I don't feel right. Speaking of things that aren't right, PSN is still down. I believe that's now the third week I've had to say PSN is down.
Is it really? Jesus Christ.
But to be fair, it's only really been 2 weeks because we do record on Thursdays. So
2 weeks this morning, I think it went down.
But Sony, maybe you want to sort things out at this point.
Yeah. Come on, guys!
Because flip the switch.
Like we were all cool. Like we're like, okay, we've got like a week, and you're discovering what happened, and you've got to patch it all up and make sure it's all nice and secure. But you're starting to push it a bit now. Particularly as they because they gave their apology, their very, very, very humble apology, from what I've heard.
Did a lot of bowing.
I thought perhaps that as they are Japanese, they might do some ritual disemboweling, but sadly didn't happen.
Can you imagine that? That would be fantastic.
just at the end of the press conference.
Getting Ken Kutaragi and waving his intestines around.
You know that all those Japanese ones are at the press conference bowing and being very humble and being very Japanese and reserved about it. And like Kaz is there, he's been all very, a lot of humility on show. But you know that somewhere Jack Tretton is putting somebody's fingernails in.
Jack Tretton is just, for the past 2 weeks, has just permanently been hitting employees.
Yeah, he's just been pulling fingernails out and mixing cement.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine he is. They've just brought him to Japan to motivate the teams fixing PSN. Just Jack Trett is standing there shouting at them, with his sleeves rolled up, well, even higher than any free press conference. They're just rolled all the way up.
Yeah, just all the way up to like a vest.
Yeah. He's wearing a vest, but really it's a full shirt, and that's how far he has had to roll his sleeves up for this.
So I read something the other day that said that Sony had just added like a third security team to the investigation. I thought if they go any further, they're going to have to add Tretton's personal guard. Coming in the big red cloaks and then a shiny red helmet.
Jack Tretton doesn't need a personal guard. He just deals with threats himself.
Yeah.
Jack Tretton
lasers just, from his eyes.
Jack Tretton just pulls out a fucking pistol. And just 30 seconds later, just turns to someone and says, it's over, we're good.
And yeah, of all the high-up execs with gaming companies, Jack Tretton's the one that could handle himself in prison.
Oh, he could. It'd be amazing.
He's got the hairdo for it.
Yeah, he has.
It breeds confidence.
I think Reggie might do well. I've got this little feeling that under that very calm exterior of Reggie, he's just one day someone's going to heckle him at a Nintendo press conference. He's going to rip his shirt off and snap them like a twig.
Like Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why everyone's very quiet at Nintendo press conferences. It's not because Nintendo have been very underwhelming for the last few years. It's just because everyone fears him. They're just scared of Reggie.
He's a big guy too, Reggie.
He is a fucking big guy. I want to see him and Jack Tretton fight. I think we've talked about that before. Just see him and Jack Tretton bare knuckle boxing.
Oh. We do talk about that quite often.
It's because it's a beautiful image.
Chris, there's a lot of anger coming from me. We need to get you... Well, have you got a girlfriend coming to visit soon? Something you can beat?
Oh, I need some fucking morphine or something. That'd chill me out a bit. My stepmom, she has very bad back problems, and the best pain medication she said she ever had was so strong, it didn't take the pain away, not even one little bit. It just made her not care about the pain anymore. Mm-hmm. So she said it was brilliant. She's like, I just didn't give a shit. I was like, oh, it hurts. Oh, whatever. And like, that sounds fucking fantastic. It was.
Well, hopefully that's what Lewis is on.
Well, she said it was medication that had to come from a safe in the doctor's office. Like, not stuff you can get from the pharmacist.
Jesus.
I think Lewis needs that. I think, to be honest, I don't know if you're familiar with Dequadin. They're like throat tablets that you buy over the counter, but they've got a mild anesthetic in. I would have crushed those up and just bathed my bollocks in them for the last week and a half. just to get ready for the gallstone. It's going to be a momentous occasion. Twitter's going to light up.
It's going to be brilliant.
Lewis's eyes are going to light up.
You're telling me. And we'll finally get to replace the word Donald with Lewis and have the word Bell End in a hashtag as well.
I've just got a feeling that Lewis is going to come back and it'll just be like some guttural primal scream. Just like, I return! Going back to things, I'm just trying to segue here. Things that haven't returned, PSN still, again, bringing it back vaguely on topic. And they've also suffered a break-in at SOE at the same time. But for some reason, they got a database from 2007, which I'm not really sure why that was lying about.
Yeah. They said 12,000-something credit card details.
But only 900 are still active.
Yeah. Which, old details.
For those 900 people, that's not great, but it's a lot better than 12,000.
They're probably all solo and Switch cards or something really sad.
Yeah.
For people who don't have real money or colourful pasts. It's funny though, when talking about the cards, I think I mentioned this in last week's podcast, and if not, it's not worthy of a mention now, but off I go. Every Monday night I go out with my friend and we go to the same place and have food, and the waitress there is just absolutely wonderful with us, and we've got on with her really well, and she just sort of piped up last Monday and she just goes, gosh, she said, and she knows, you know, what our loves and hobbies are and stuff and what we do for work, and she said, that PlayStation Network is still down, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, it is. It sort of caught us off guard with her talking about it. I said, well, you know, what have you done? Is it yours or your, you know, is your boyfriend's PlayStation 3? Sorry, husband's. And she said, yeah, she said, we've changed our credit card. And I thought, that's interesting, because she's very much not a hardcore gamer at all. And I said, have you had lots of friends changing, cancelling credit cards as well? She said, yeah, I know plenty who have. So to me, it was fascinating to see that the important stuff that's crept through to the media, even just the slight chance that any credit card information's snuck out, is enough for everybody to be cancelling cards, which obviously, that's when it really smarts. That's when people get really fucked off with Sony. You know, for me, I've left my card on there and I'm happy. Let's see what happens, you know?
That'd be interesting at least.
Well, I have really good card protection on my card. I've had credit card fraud a couple of times.
Yeah.
And they've always caught it within a week and they phone me. I've never noticed on my statements, they phone me and say, did you make these payments on this date? And sort of talk me through a list of things. And I say, no, I didn't make them. And then they sort it out and it's all fixed within a very short period of time. They send me a new card. So I'm not particularly bothered. Well, it's not that I'm not bothered, but I'm not too worried about the credit card theft and all that sort of stuff. It's just annoying that the network's still down, really.
Yeah. See, because I like to live dangerously, I use debit cards, which I'm told you shouldn't use online. But I know you guys aren't an awful lot older than me, but I know very few people from like my generation, from my kind of age, who would use credit cards. Like everyone I know just basically uses debit cards.
I think, is that maybe because you're sort of, you're 18 months now, 2 years out of university?
Yeah.
And probably a lot of your friends are too sensible to get credit cards.
Yes, exactly.
Economic while you're at university and then not wanting to get into debt while you still have that student loan stuff hanging over you.
It's mostly because we know what it's like to be in debt, because you're just sitting there going, I have this crushing, terrible debt just hanging there. Like $20,000 worth of debt just sitting there somewhere. And occasionally it's the kind of thing that, because it's such a large amount, it's kind of like your mortgage, where to an extent you almost like, you know, you need to pay it, but it's not something you think about because it's such a large amount. There's nothing you could do about it. But occasionally you do wake up and just go, I owe the government a shit ton of money. This is really not good.
I think for me, guys, I think the whole joke last week where I was talking about, well, it was because it was truthful as well, but it was funny, the whole Yugoslavian porn thing where I had fraud on my card, that was on a debit card, and it prompted me then to switch to a credit card. And the only reason I wanted to talk about this now, as it happens from my perspective, it's kind of a top tip for anybody thinking about this. I used to regard credit cards as obviously evil, and I could see people getting in trouble with them. I'd had an ex-girlfriend who's got, you know, she was the cliched, I just carried on shopping, you know, next thing you know, £10,000 worth of debt to pay back over 7 years, just all that crazy stuff you see in the media. Yeah. But I had a chat with Barclays and they just said, no, get the credit card where every month it takes the money out of your account that you've put on it. So literally it acts almost like a normal card, but comes with the insurance. So I would suggest anybody who's got a debit card online, just give their bank a shout and have a chat about the credit card, because it's not costing me anything more and I've got the insurance and peace of mind. So I would definitely have a look into it.
Yeah. And a lot of time you get like travel insurance and stuff with credit cards as well.
Yeah, a few other perks as well, maybe, absolutely.
Bits and pieces, different bonuses and things that you get that just make them a little bit more beneficial if you can keep an eye on what you do owe.
Yeah, I mean, I know a credit card has all the advantages and it would make my credit rating a lot better as well. And like you said, you can obviously these days just use it like a debit card. But there's just something about them that I know I'd misuse it.
That's fair enough. If you're honest with yourself and you know you would, then don't.
I know I'd go into the comic shop and be like, I can afford these £400 worth of books. It'd be fine.
I'll worry about this next month.
I'd put them on credit. It'd be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
That's what I did when I got my first credit card when I was sort of my early 20s. I got a credit card and just spent on it and thought, well, I'll pay it back at the end of the month, or I can't afford to pay it all back at the end of this month, so I'll just pay some back next month. But you sort of don't notice the money going, so I spent and spent and spent until I had massive credit card debt. And then it took me, 5 or 6 years to pay it off. Yeah. So, yeah, I think if you know that you're not going to be able to be very careful and responsible with it, and you don't have massive disposable income that you can just afford to pay it, then you sort of have to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, and I mean, I have nearly been declared bankrupt once, and I'm only 23. So I think I'd probably like to avoid that.
When you're only 23, you can get declared bankrupt and you'll all be sorted before you're 30.
It's true. I did nearly get declared bankrupt because NatWest are twats. Basically.
Oh, NatWest are twats.
Yeah. And they tried to declare me bankrupt, which was nice of them.
They were my brother's bank when he was at university, and they fucked him over with his overdraft and stuff.
Oh, that's exactly what they did to me, and then tried to declare me bankrupt because of it.
Yeah. They did that to him.
So pleasant, aren't they?
Wankers.
Yep. And also, because I was literally like, this is very off topic, I'll get back to the important things in a minute, sorry guys. But basically what had happened was they said, well, if you can get one of your parents to come on the phone now and make a payment, then we can set a payment plan and that kind of thing. And I was like, well, my parents don't work in jobs where they can just answer their phone. They both work in like public facing jobs. Mm-hmm. They both work for the council in different departments of the council, where they both like sit at desks and answer queries from the public and that kind of thing. So they can't just like answer the phone and sit on it for 20 minutes while we sort stuff out. I was like, but I can go see them. They work around the corner. I can go see them, and my mum will give me her card and let me pay like £300-400 off now. They went, no, that's not good enough. You need to do it over the phone immediately. Mm-hmm. And because of that, because even though I did actually, even after the phone call ended, went back and paid £400 into my account immediately. And they said, no, we can't set up a payment plan. You have to pay us the money within a month or you'll be declared bankrupt, which was lovely. I was like, well, but I'm still going to pay it in today. It's going to be in like 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's very similar to what they did to my brother, I think.
It was just very frustrating. Yes.
Because they know there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I know. It's what's annoying.
They're putting you by the balls.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is be careful with money. It will go away.
Use someone else's.
Or use someone else's money.
Marry rich or steal.
To be honest, if you're the guys who did steal credit cards from Sony, you're probably pretty chuffed at the minute, so you're all right.
Yeah,
knock yourself out. Have a drink on me.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on swiftly. I played Shadow Complex, which I thought I'd just touch on quickly because I haven't done very much this week. Fuck it, I forgot that I really love Shadow Complex. It's really good.
It's that's on the Xbox Live, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, Xbox Live. It's kind of like Metroid. Kind of like if you crossed Metroid and Splinter Cell, it's kind of like that. It's really good. And I don't know, it's touched my completionist nerve now, which is a bit irritating. Because I'm sitting there looking at the map, and on the map it has all the question marks. We have to try and figure out where in the room there's like a hidden panel, so you can go and collect whatever the bonus thing is. And I'm kind of just sitting there going, I can't find it. I can't go fight the final boss till I found it, because I can't come back and do it after I beat the boss.
Exactly where I got to. I'm right at the very end, and I thought, I think I'm like 87%, but I came up to, there's one of the things that you have to get, and I can't get to it.
It's really,
so I know it's there, because it shows up on the map, but I can't get into it.
Yeah, there were a couple that are just irritating.
So I just never bothered finishing it.
So, and I might just cheat and look up some videos on how you get certain things.
Oh, I did. I looked up the video for this one, and it told me exactly how to do it. I just can't do it.
That's irritating.
Yeah.
That's a lot more irritating. There are just some that I just can't figure out where it is. It's like, there's a question mark in this room. I'm like, there are no hidden panels in this room. Where the fuck am I meant to be going? Yes. Yeah, but I adore that game. And it does show what you can achieve with the Unreal Engine if you put a little bit of effort in.
And something a little bit different to the normal stuff that Unreal Engine's
exactly.
used for.
But then again, the Unreal Engine is used for weird shit as well. It's used for like pool games and stuff like that, which is
And
bizarre.
Those developers that made Shadow Complex also made Infinity Blade for the iPhone.
Chair. And they said they will make a follow-up to Shadow Complex at some point, but it might get a bit delayed because Infinity Blade kind of made them ridiculous sums of money.
Mm-hmm.
It made them something like $50 million in the first weekend. And they were like, okay, we may stick with this then for a little bit, which is perfectly understandable, because when something makes you a shit ton of money, it's probably worth having another crack at it.
Yeah, or taking some of that money and hiring more developers and doing both projects.
Yeah, they could. Well, to be fair, they're owned by Epic. They could quite easily do both.
Yeah.
Like, Epic outright bought them. And when Epic owns you, you're probably not that strapped for cash at that point.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Is Epic like, oh, well, we make Gears of War. Here's just money. There you go. Just got it.
It's well, Epic make the Unreal Engine. So yeah, the licensing fees from that in itself.
It's kind of like, it's what I must imagine. It's like if you're working on a AAA game at Activision, because they've just got all that money coming in from Blizzard.
Yeah.
And they're just like, here.
They've got their WoW money.
Just have, so we don't give a shit. There'll be more in a minute. They'll just see whatever you take, they'll be filled up in about a week. So it's fine. Have it.
Yeah. And then finish your game and fuck off.
Yeah. Then finish your game and we will fire you and sue you into the fucking ground because that is how we do business.
Oh, dear. I had so much fun dissing Activision.
Oh, I know. It's fun. Particularly as I kind of understand Activision's take on things.
Yeah, I completely sympathise with them.
I don't necessarily like it very much, but I get where they're coming from. They're like, well, we're a business. We like making large chunks. Particularly, like, we're a publicly traded company. Like, our shareholders tend to get a bit irritated if we do the right thing rather than making shed loads of cash. I'm sure their shareholders don't really give a shit how they make the money as long as they make a lot of money.
Yep.
That's pretty much how money markets work.
Indeed.
And it doesn't matter how they go about it. They can be quite shameless because 80, 90% of Joe Public aren't like us on TSA, all clued up with everything, and they don't give a shit. You know, they wouldn't have given a shit about the whole sort of, the guys splintering off from Activision and then creating new games and, you know, the whole mess in the media. They're not worried about that. They just want their games. Which is why, as it happens, I think the PlayStation Network, just to touch on it slightly, will be okay in the long run. We all know it'll be okay in the long run. It's had some damage done to it, but ultimately the public are ludicrously forgiving.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Well, I sort of guested on a podcast that Davs did for the Media Kick first birthday last week, and I was saying exactly the same thing. I think that it's a big deal at the minute, and everybody's very interested in it, but it will blow over. People on the internet make a big fuss when something happens, but once it's all up and running again, it will blow over.
Oh, people on the internet,
and it won't be long before.
Well, they make a big fuss about fucking everything on the internet. It's given everybody a voice, and you know, you've seen the incredibly pedantic conversations and arguments on TSA's threads about it as well, which have just all spiraled out of control. And you're sitting here thinking, it's not even sort of like, you're not even here thinking, look, there's people starving in Africa, that old line. No, you're thinking you're a mature grown-up. Actually, no, you're just a grown-up. You're acting like a pedantic little child. Shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Sign out. You know.
I made a joke about it last week. People tore me a fucking new one. Tough Cub made a joke about it today, and he's fucking wonderful.
Yeah, he did make a joke about a slightly different aspect of it, though.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I'm sorry to say, Shpia, his joke was much funnier.
Yeah, it was.
It was fucking hilarious.
To be fair.
Was that the whole drop-down article?
Yeah.
It was really good, like that. I just like the idea of it. It was fantastic.
Yeah, he sent that to me last night. He said, can you have a look at this and see? Because he couldn't get the formatting of it right.
I bet.
And I looked at it and thought it was hilarious, but was thinking, oh, fuck, if we post this, we're going to get people bitching about it. So I said to him, maybe you could do it, but maybe you put it in the forums or something.
Yeah.
And then it was, I think it was Dan that saw it and said that it was really funny. And Tough Cup told him that it had been pulled. And they sort of, there was a bit of a conversation on Twitter. And I was like, well, no, if you think it's all right, then fuck it. We'll just post it and see what happens. But the feedback, I mean, I think it's at 6 or 7 pages of comments and they're all positive.
Well, the thing so is, sometimes people just the letters you can come out with, you know, if you used it as it happens to genuinely create a letter, it would be fairly amusing. But it's just the whole idea. It's just the whole idea that you can select drop down after drop down after drop down. And manufacture some bogus thing and just wait for the money to come rolling in. It was a lovely idea. It really was.
Yeah, it was quite brilliant. If you haven't seen it, this will go up on Monday, so you've probably seen it by then. But if you haven't, go and find it because it's really fucking funny.
Yeah, search for the Magic Sony Suatron.
Yeah,
Sonyatron or something.
Yeah, something like that. Oh god, it is good. It is very, very good. Okay, Mike, you watched Megamind, and you also want to talk about, like, CGI in films in general.
Yeah, just, it was, well, quite simply, because of Lewis's ill health, and you guys very kindly give me another shout and another chance to redeem myself from last week's debauchery, I thought I'd watch something, because game-wise, which I know we'll come to in a sec, it's without trying to say more of the same, it's more of the same, but and more on top. But, yeah, Megamind was really, really good fun. It was lovely to... Actually, there's a character in it. I know Lewis is going to want to strike me down for this. I utterly, utterly loathe with a passion It's not Mick Hucknall, but it's close to that level. Will Ferrell. I just cannot stand the guy. Yeah, he makes me want a wheel spin on his face. I can't believe people even enjoy his films. And I know Lewis thinks Anchorman is excellent. And of course, it's the classic each to their own. But he plays the voice of the lead in Megamind. And he's really good. His voice works very well. I think basically not having him on screen is where it wins for me. which is fair.
As long as I'm just hearing, I just don't want to see him.
I think it's the fact that everybody thinks he's funny for some reason.
I kind of hope Lewis is listening to this podcast and we can just continue to say things to enrage him.
Yeah.
Hopefully the rage will somehow force the kidneys to.
Do you know what? I was thinking the exact same thing. He's going to get so fucking angry. That gallstone's popping out his tear duct tonight, isn't it? So.
It's going to be so enraged. Yeah. Like, his blood pressure's going to shoot up so much, it's just come out.
Yeah. It's just gonna, there'll be blood flying out of one tear duct, and there'll be tears of joy through the other one. It'll be a strange, heady mix. But it was... No, Megamind was really good. It's always lovely, I think, in CG films, because we see a very similar pattern happening in the games industry, usually, obviously, a generation later or a few years later on the PC. And you see things being done, and you sit back and you look at it, and you think... Damn, that's been done nicely. You know, whether it's water in the like of Surf's Up. I mean, the water they had in Surf's Up was incredible as a film, and is a lovely little film anyway. I'm always curious, though, as to anybody outside of the Disney Pixar world, why they're not there trying to do the sort of Disney Pixar magic that they managed to weave. Is it impossible, or do they just try not to go down that route to basically plagiarize the formula? It's a lovely film, but like Over the Hedge, it's a lovely film, but it's no Ratatouille, if that makes sense.
I don't think anyone else can just quite hit the same beats. It's just one of those things that from the outside probably looks quite easy. Like, well, if I just do this, this, and this, it'll be awesome. But it's when you're trying to sit down and write the script, I think hitting the beats in exactly the same way Disney does is.
See, I don't think it's necessarily Disney. I think it's Pixar.
Yeah, more Pixar than Disney.
Yes, yeah, it's no, that's more fair point, Pete. Yeah,
more a culture. Because Pixar, I know, are a very laid-back company, similar to what we were saying about Valve last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very, like, turning up to work in Hawaiian shirts and stuff like that. It's all very relaxed. And it's just passionate people being given this time and space to be creative.
Yeah, I imagine it's the exact opposite of how Jack Tretton's office is right now. It's the perfect mirror, like, the perfect polar of the two ends of, like, that kind of tech industry. You have Jack Tretton, who is just hanging employees up by the wrists and using them as a punching bag.
Yeah, definitely.
And Pixar, where they're just like, hey guys, it's cool, we'll have some ice cream. There you go.
I can easily, Jack Tretton right now, he's down the dimly lit corridor, isn't he, in an interrogation room with his full hair flick outfit from a lower low.
Exactly.
The fluorescent lights flickering.
Just to unnerve them on the way in, just to rattle them. And sort of screams playing constantly in the background.
Yeah. And somehow, even though it's real life, there's just the gritty filter over the whole thing. That's the power that Jack Tretton has.
Jack Tretton comes with his own film grain.
Fantastic. Exactly. Spraying sand in people's eyes. Oh, that sounds fucking awful, actually. Oh, that's made me blink a lot.
Sound horrible.
Yeah. But no, seriously, I mean, with Megamind, funny enough, it's the silly little things we see, and... Like the lead lady in it, who was played by Tina Fey, who's I think writes and stars in 30 Rock, which is a very enjoyable TV program. Just that the hair on her head. I know that sounds daft, but it's lovely. It's nice to see technology coming along well enough where they can style the hair beautifully. I was looking at it thinking, God, guys, this is phenomenal. You know, I mean, gone are the days of actually referring back to Final Fantasy Spirits Within. I remember them talking about something like there was 80,000 strands of hair on the lead lady's head, and it took like an entire night to render one frame, you know, crazy, crazy statistics. And now they've got the scope to really apply some real style to the film. And thankfully, like the game industry, let your imagination run free, which is obviously what we want with any medium and format. But it was good fun. But I've also been told to watch How to Train a Dragon, which is supposed to be excellent and has had great reviews by Rotten Tomatoes, even though Rotten Tomatoes has now sold its soul. Which I don't quite know what to talk about. I don't really know what to talk about, Peter, but that's the thing you mentioned on Twitter, wasn't it? It's the fact that Warner now own them, is that right?
Yeah, Warner Brothers bought Rotten Tomatoes in January 2010, I think.
Right.
And so that sort of tied up the aggregation and, like, Metascore thing that Rotten Tomatoes does.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just a couple of days ago, Warner Brothers bought Flixster, so they now own Rotten Tomatoes. And it's very much a case of they wanted Flixster for Flixster's distribution and the involvement that Flixster has in Facebook. And they've just ended up with this massive movie rating site as well, and it seems like it's a bit of an accident. So I don't know if they're going to try and spin that off and try and keep it as separate as they can or what's going to happen with it. But I would say at the minute, it's a massive conflict of interest.
Huge, isn't it? It's huge. I mean, I'll see how it goes, obviously, but I'm sure people will see patterns forming soon. But no, Megamind has been lovely fun. I think it's the sort of film that if you've had a hard day, as it happens, it's the sort of film that I'm going to liken to a particular, well, it's not a game really, but what I've noticed is a few of my friends thought I would be in Second Life a lot because of my creativity with my the nature of my job, which is graphic design. And what I've noticed is at the end of a day of creating stuff, the very last thing on my mind is creating stuff, whether it's creating a Little Big Planet level or going into Second Life to create, well, anything. And it's not on my mind. And Megamind is the perfect film, the perfect antidote to chilling out. Whether it's a game or a film, you sort of take your brain out and think, do you know what? Just entertain me for an hour and a half and I'm happy. And it is like that. It's not going to win any awards, but it's good fun. In 1080p, it's phenomenal. All of the recent CG films are. They're all such wonderful showcase films for TVs, for very nice TVs. It's just crisp and clean as hell, obviously, as a picture. And yeah, it's genuinely a bit of fun with, you know, Brad Pitt doing the voice, Tina Fey, Will Ferrell, some good voices on board. So that was it, matey. Yeah.
It does sound rather good, though. Sounds enjoyable.
Yeah, it's nice. It's got the whole superhero thing in there as well, Chris, which you might.
I do like superheroes. Enjoy. That is true.
Yeah, and they have a little bit of fun with it as well. They mix it up quite a bit. So yeah, it's something you could easily put if someone suggested to you come over and watch Megamind for the afternoon, go for it. You know, your life will still be fine if you don't see it, but. If you get a chance, yeah, give it a go.
All right, I will tell you and give it a go.
Just when we were talking there about Warner Brothers buying out and big companies and that sort of stuff, IGN bought out somebody this week. They bought 1UP
at
the start of the week. And in amongst all of that discussion, IGN bought the UGO network, which includes 1UP.
Yeah, 1UP, some, ever since when they went bankrupt, has kind of been a huge clusterfuck of ownership since then.
Yeah. And IGN's owned by News Corp, which are the same people that own Fox, which is funny. Everything on the internet drills back to like six companies. Really. IGN bought that. But as part of that announcement, there was also announcements about IGN's income and running costs. And in amongst that, we learned that IGN costs $90 million per year to run.
Jesus.
That was the one thing that nearly knocked me off my seat as well, Peter. I can barely get my head around it.
I don't know. It's like I just can't. I cannot comprehend how or why it costs that much.
What are they doing?
$90 million, and how much must they make if they can afford to spend that on running costs?
Are they hosting their servers like on the moon or something?
Yeah.
Is that the issue they're having? Are they just like, well, we can't possibly share a hosting facility. We just build our own. It'll be fine.
Yeah, we've seen what's happened with the PSN. Yeah, we're going to just take it off the planet.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know that they're a massive site just for video games, but they also have the whole media side of things as well. And they have an awful lot that they would host an awful lot. So I imagine that their running costs would be quite high. But $90 million a year is insane.
I reckon their profit margins are as tight as the Nats chuff. I reckon it's all really tight. It's all, you know, yeah, you might find that their turnover is just, you know, I say is just, but, you know, it could be 95 million. You know, and obviously 90 goes out the door, which doesn't leave you with a lot. 5 million sounds a lot, but it isn't if the company's a decent size. I'd be curious as to see what their figures really are.
Well, they have quite a large staff, I think, but I don't think I can. Well, I'm not sure the figures might have even been included in that same announcement, but I wouldn't imagine if that's what the running costs are, that they would be paying much out to the shareholders.
They can't be, surely.
But who knows? They are pretty much the biggest, aren't they?
Well, they are the biggest, and to be, like you said, they do cover so much. Like, any form of media, they basically cover it. Which is crazy.
Fair play to them. If they're making that sort of money, they must be doing something right.
Yeah, that's true. They must have worked out the magic formula that's infinite money.
Yeah.
Found the cheat code for life.
Or just got there first.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot to be said for just getting there first, guys. Seriously, yeah. You know, when you look at the size of GameSpot, is it GameSpot? Sorry, GameStop. No, GameSpot, and GameSpot and IGN are the two big boys, aren't they?
Yeah.
And if you do it properly and you get there first, yeah, you're laughing for a long time. Even though everybody else will be catching up, you just look after yourself and it'll prevent the erosion.
Yeah. It's the same story in Europe with Eurogamer. They're just one of the first, and now they're at the size now where it's pretty much going to be impossible for anybody over the next few years at least to get anywhere close to them.
Yep.
Because they got there first, and they do well, but they got there first. And I mean, I think there are smaller sites that do similar things better in a lot of respects, although I don't think there's anything on the internet that beats Digital Foundry. I think that's amazing. That's the best thing on Eurogamer, I think. But yeah, there are other sites doing a similar job, but just cannot get the traction because Eurogamer has it all sewn up.
Yeah.
Fair play to them.
Yeah, it'd just be nice if we could work out that how you make the flip to paid.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Which, I don't know how you do it. I don't know what magic formula you use that just goes, okay, because I know we don't openly discuss traffic, but we've discussed it a couple of times in the past, traffic figures. And our traffic is not tiny. And there are sites smaller than us that are self-sustaining. And we're kind of like, how do you make the leap?
It's about making sure that your reputation is spotless and making sure that people trust you and making sure that people know who you are. And with the Sixth Axis, we've got to the point where we have got that reputation with certain people, and we are now at the stage where we're trying to make sure that people know who we are. But it's not easy going. You just have to keep plugging away at it. And
yeah, constantly. Yeah, brand recognition, and then make sure when they do pop past to see the site that it's, you know, top to toe in Sunday best, and that they know that it's a good site, and hopefully that you haven't, you know, once again sold your soul to the devil and just sort of. I suppose that's one part of it, isn't it? Is if you're shameless and you say, look, we'll advertise anything, we'll push anything, we'll adjust the reviews just because, you know, you've sent over that real doll that I wanted last month, then off you go.
It would be very easy. We could have done it like a year, 18 months ago. We could have made the switch to sustain maybe at least two or three people.
Yeah, yeah.
If we had, if we'd agreed to go down that route where we post hit bait and sensationalist rubbish, and we are willing to talk to people about editorial for advertising, which we don't do.
Yeah.
We could be making decent money, but because we are trying desperately to maintain our integrity while we do it, it's just taking us a bit longer. But
no, I mean,
I'd rather be good than rich.
No, I personally, I wish we sold our soul because I want gold teeth.
Well, like Jaws.
Yeah, it'd be fucking awesome.
Wouldn't that be brilliant?
I mean, that's what I'm doing.
It'd be a bitch for the podcast, but I mean, otherwise, that'd be just absolutely fantastic. Thinking about it, it could be the podcast that's holding back the website because the website's very well presented, whereas in here,
we just talk
shit for. It's not as fine, I'm sure. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it, if they ever came across and they said, well, we've listened to Oscar Mike's media podcast and we're not impressed at all with you, Mr. Chapman.
Oh, God.
Be
to be fair, it'd be way more worrying if they were impressed, I think. They're like, this seems like a quality product.
Yeah. I think, but
it's the podcast is not for that sort of, it's not for them, it's for us.
Yeah, of course.
I hate to tell
people
you.
People to listen to it, it's a bit of personality.
I kind of have to say, the podcast isn't even really for the listeners. It's mostly just for us.
Yeah, it's kind of nice that people listen to it, but I pretty much just like to get on and have an hour chatting with my mates for a Thursday evening.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly the same with us over at the Nutsack. I told Matt Crawfail, I said to him, I said, if we had five listeners or two listeners or even just one, which we know would be Solid Steven, we'd still be doing it because... I'm not going to comment any further than that, but literally because it would be... It's the digital equivalent of being down the pub with your mates and having a drink and chatting about the thing you love, which is video games.
Yeah.
God bless Solid Steven, by the way.
He's such a star. He's such a good laugh.
It's terrifying.
I know, like, when he first showed up on TSA, there was an awful lot of comments, an awful lot of forum posts.
He was prison gang banged.
And there was a few people who were like, yeah, do you want to maybe calm that down a bit, mate? But you know what? Loyalty can take you a long way.
Yeah.
And that guy really loves the site and he really loves the community. So fair play to him.
Honestly, like, even just tweeting me, I think, yesterday, For no reason whatsoever, I just changed my location in my profile on the forum, and I put down wiping the drool away from the corner of Stephen's mouth. And he just takes it, he just, well, much like the drool, he just takes it on the chin. But he's got a great sense of humour. We just need to get him a good headset. And if we can get him a good headset, we're going to get him on as a guest, which I think everybody will want to listen to, whether you like it or not. Yeah. You'll just feel compelled to see what mad workings are in his head, or if there is any at all.
If he get on the podcast, he just won't shut up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, the question is, can he shut up in real life?
I think so. It's either going to be one of two things, isn't it? We're either going to have to pull the plug on him, or it's going to be just a gentle breeze with the rigging blowing in the wind and nothing there between the ears. But I think it's going to be constant.
No, or potentially it's just going to be like pulling teeth. It's just going to be like he's only any good writing. He's no good verbally. This is what Peter said about me when I first joined TSA, when Peter had been listening to me way back on the Second Nature days, and Peter had been listening to me. And I think after the first other article I wrote, he says something like, go read this, Chris writes a lot better than he speaks.
It's fascinating to discover, actually. I noticed, I didn't realise how quiet Blair was. He jumped on Steam to have a little game of Left 4 Dead with me once, and I either scared him but there wasn't a lot of conversation, and yet article wise, lovely articles, articles he's, more mature than his age, which is great.
He's
obviously.
He's a very quiet dude. He just is. Yeah. We should talk about games at some point.
Go on, then.
I suppose. I was going to talk about, let's not talk about, Thief is happening.
FIFA's always happening.
Next.
Just again and again. they changed the engine to the Impact engine, which at least sounds cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the whole engine for the whole game, or if that's just what they're using, what they're calling the engine that determines the collision detection and the tackling and all that shit.
I mean, to be honest, you should call your collision detection engine the Impact engine. But, yeah. So, tackles aren't going to be, canned animations, which is cool.
Yeah, it sounds, from what they were saying, it sounds much more interesting from what they were saying, is that it's going to be much more precise.
Yeah.
So the tackles don't just go through a player now. They go, you can get the player's trailing leg or you can get his leading leg. Presumably the momentum then plays in with that, and sometimes he'll fall over and sometimes he'll be able to hold himself up. So it's interesting what they're doing with, a player that's a bigger player that's stronger. Might not be as fast as the smaller players, but he's more able to hold off players and stand up to a tackle.
Man, I'm going to fuck some players up when that comes out. That's going to be breaking legs.
I was just going to say, looking to see if the Impact engine allows for open fractures.
Yeah, it needs to. It needs to allow what happened to a Brighton player called El Abd. He's obviously Arabic. And you can either have studs or you can have blades on your boots for digging into the turf. And he was a perfect argument for why you shouldn't allow blades in modern football, because basically he took a bad tackle and his calf, you could just see the bone. You could see the bone in the muscle. It's just like a cross section of his leg. It was fucking terrible.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds really disgusting. But at the same time, I wonder if I Google image it, will it show up?
Probably. And if FIFA lets me do that, I'll be happy.
There was a football game years ago, and I kind of miss it, that used to have a specific button for fouling people. So if you were standing next to another player,
I do know what you mean. I come with the fuck it was. I want FIFA needs a button where I could just punch someone in the face.
Yeah, I also remember a football game from years and years ago. I think it was on the original PlayStation. I can't remember what it was called, but sometimes the referee would give you a red card, and the player would sort of be talking back to him in the animation. And the referee was telling him off, and then the player punched the referee.
Awesome. Awesome.
I thought that's happened maybe half a dozen times in the whole history of world football.
Yeah, it doesn't happen
in this
often.
Game, and it happens every other time you get a red card.
Because you're going to get banned for the rest of the season if you punch the ref.
Yeah.
I think, Chris, maybe if this keeps up for another week, it's best if you go back on Coca-Cola and pizza. Because you're very angry this week.
Yes.
Every aspect we've talked about, you've wanted to punch or kill something, either in the real world or on screen.
Yep. I'm not normally as vocal about it.
I see. So the hidden rage has finally bubbled to the surface.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we might.
It's just basically that Coke was just keeping it back. just holding
the edge off.
Pressing it down just enough.
Yeah.
Now I'm just vocal and I fucking hate everything.
I think we should send you over to Lewis's house tonight and ask you to give him a hug.
Yeah.
See what pops out.
Mike, you wanted to talk about Steam and Left 4 Dead 2 and stuff, but we are running very long.
That's okay. I shall keep it really quick. It's much like last week, really, because of the whole PlayStation Network. It's just lovely to see so many TSA forumites coming across. We've had we've had Rainy Days coming across, and she's already been on Skype to ask me for playing tonight in Left 4 Dead. So it's wonderful to see people either going back to Left 4 Dead that they've bought already, or even picking it up. For example, Phil, Nemesis, is picking it up to play with us, because I think people are just reading about this, having so much fun, and they're seeing it all across sort of Twitter come the evenings.
Yeah.
And it's been a bloody riot, and it continues to be. I mean, Hanny's taken to it like a duck to water. So has Adam as well, AG2297, and Tef as well. So it has been phenomenal. I'm fascinated to see now when the PlayStation Network comes up, what's going to happen.
I was going to say that. Mm. Will anyone go back on it? They've all just migrated to Steam at this point.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. So, I mean, the hardcore gamers, I'm sure, are going to return to the PlayStation 3. That's fair enough. But I'm also fascinated by the fact that what I want to see is when they play their games, and this is what's happened to me, and I'm not a hardcore gamer, so this is where the difference might reveal itself, is will they sit there after they've played their next great PlayStation 3 game and sat there and thought, it was okay, but where's the bit where I'm on TeamSpeak with 7 other people smack talking and laughing ourselves hysterically for 3 hours? Because that is hard to beat. You know, it's like Peter talking about the podcast, you know, coming on here and having a laugh and a joke and chewing the fat of the gaming industry and everything else you fancy. It is hard to trump. And unless your motivation and your drive is that high to go after the trophies or to go after completing the next game and the next game and the next game and not feeling like you're missing out, you know, not for one moment do I feel like I'm missing out, truly. I don't. You know, even if I say I do, I'm not. I'm having the time of my life in Left 4 Dead with the guys. And cool. Yeah, I'm curious, that's all. But obviously, everybody wants the PlayStation Network up. But I will lose a few. But it'd be lovely to see people just keep on returning once in a while. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this, jump on Steam and play games with people.
Yeah,
there's a TSA group on Steam as well, isn't
there? There is, yes. Indeed. Yeah, racking up plenty of hours. They racked up loads for Portal 2. I think it's the most played game on Steam by the TSA's list.
Yeah, see, I largely have Steam so that Peter can send games to me. And then I don't play them.
But just wonderful things like, and just a very simple example. Hanny bought Hanny Poppy in the forum bought Left 4 Dead 2 for her Apple laptop, and she tried to run it, and it was underpowered, and it wouldn't run it. So I contacted Steam and asked them about, you know, what can we do, and is there a chance to get a refund maybe for Hanny and get it for the PC? You know, they could cancel it straight away. She wasn't looking to put one over on them. But Steam just got back to me and said, it's a Steam account. Just install it on the PC and off you go. And it was like, that's great. That, you know, talk about wonderful service.
Yeah, this is, I own Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2, but I haven't actually ever played them.
Really, Peter?
But Teflon bought it and then didn't want to use up his download.
Right.
Bandwidth, because he's like limited download.
Yeah.
So he asked me if I would send him the backups for Left 4 Dead 2, which apparently you can do. Apparently I can export them from my Steam here and burn them onto a DVD and send them to him, and he puts them in and activates them with his Steam code, so he didn't have to download them.
That's cool.
That's fantastic.
Off the disc, which was really clever.
Isn't that wonderful?
And it's, I mean, there's nothing dodgy about it, because he's bought it and he's using his activation code.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just using the files that I've sent him.
Exactly.
Yes. I've quite often sent my mates some DLC, which they've got like a 40 gig limit for the month or something. And I've sent them sort of like 4 or 5 gigs worth of maps or whatever. But and let alone the fact that now Portal 2 is released, Valve did say that they've got all of their guys, or at least all the Portal 2 guys, are now back onto Left 4 Dead to convert the final campaigns from Left 4 Dead 1 over to 2. And they are some brilliant levels, and I'm looking forward to hammering those. So it means that all the people who've just come on recently over Easter are going to be having, well, basically a 30% bigger game coming soon. You know, so even more content to drool over. So yeah, it's been lovely. Anyway, Mitty.
That's another thing that Valve are very, very good at through Steam, is adding extra content to the game for free.
Fantastic. Do they support their games like this with other stuff? Because the Left 4 Dead support has left me, mouth agape. Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, the Left 4 Dead support has been very good, but it's not a patch on the support that they've had for Team Fortress.
Oh, see, that's wonderful.
And Portal gets updated all the time, and they added challenge rooms to it, and they add little Easter eggs to it all the time. Like, they added in, you know, the whole thing about Portal and the cake is a lie and all that. They added in a little bit where you could get through the wall and get down and find a cake. And they did a lot of the announcements and the teasing for Portal 2 via updates to the original Portal game on the PC.
Oh, that's lovely.
So it's all very clever. But and hearing you guys talk about it, I'm kind of wishing that I could get on in the evenings a bit more.
Honestly, Peter, if you can see yourself even on a weekend or if the missus is away for a little bit or whatever, just give us a shout, jump on, and we'll get you on it. It's been wonderful, wonderful fun.
Cool. Right, before this wine makes me utterly sloshed, we should probably move on a little bit more. I do apologize if I get drunk. I haven't had very much to eat, and I'm drinking this rather lovely white wine that I was handed as I walked in the door. Peter, you have a competition of some form.
I have a competition. Hold on. I have to get my iPad up with this very good speaker.
As we established long ago on this podcast.
Yep, that's my tribute to Lewis. Okay. Are we ready? This is the same as the sort of competitions that Lewis does. It's just a piece of music. And you need to tell me what game this piece of music is from.
Ooh, twist.
It's quite easy. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. There we go.
It's not Dead or Alive then, is it? It's quite a serious, somber tone with that one.
Yeah, it's fairly
so
serious.
So I don't know what you'll win, but if you enter the competition, hold on, what should we do, Chris? Email address for the podcast?
Yeah, email podcasts@sixaxis.com and put competition in the subject line.
Yeah, that's podcasts with an S on the end.
Yes, we're plural.
And put competition in the subject line and tell us what game that piece of music's from, and we will sort you out with some sort of prize for next week.
Yeah, we'll find something. We'll send you Blair or something.
I think maybe what you should do is offer Lewis's gallstone in a little petri dish mounted on a little soft material that lets out 100 screams every time you just press it down.
Yeah. Or a game. Or we'll send you a member of the staff that's displeased me at some point in the previous week. There's always one. There's always one who's pissed me off at some point.
It's usually me.
You never piss me off. I won't talk about who's pissed me off this week because it would be me.
Must try harder.
Right, you also have a quiz for us, Peter.
I do have a quiz.
In what format is this quiz?
This quiz is audio samples from movies which are made from game franchises.
Is it a 1 to 10 quiz?
It's a 1 to 10 quiz.
Okay. And I assume that Mike is playing on your behalf.
Mike can play on my behalf if he wants.
Oh, dear God. We've had a good relationship up until now, Peter, but I'm really sorry.
It's all right, Mike. I'm that far ahead of Chris by this point. It doesn't really matter.
Fantastic.
It doesn't at all. You're so far ahead, I don't even know what the score is at this point.
Yeah, it's like we're at the point now, it's like those last couple of games of the season where the team's already won the league and basically they're just trotting home.
It's just like, it's like 8-4 or something ridiculous.
Oh, in that case, like, matey, if you don't need the points, what I'll do, I'll just keep myself busy by sending articles over to Leader Gamer. From your place and selling brilliant. Them. Right, go on, matey, hit us with it.
Okay, are we ready?
Yes.
Question one. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh dear God.
Question two.
Every night, the same dream, the same strange planet. But why are they trying to tell me?
Okay.
Yep.
Question three.
We are running out of time. And if we fail, must wait another 5,000 years.
Well, I don't know about you, but that's more time than I'm prepared to commit to this enterprise.
Okay, I got that.
1, 2, 3. This is question 4.
There's an army of bodies under this river. Criminals reaching up to welcome me as one of their own.
He needs to clear his throat.
Eight.
Okay, so that was 1, 2, 3, 4. That was 6.
That was 6.
That was five, wasn't it? Oh, well,
that
whatever.
Was five.
Yeah, it was five. Yeah, it was five.
I was going to say, Peter, you're not keeping track here.
Yeah, that was question five. So this is question six.
She forgot her glass. You say glass? Yes. You say glass, you Frankfurt eating motherfucker. I bought all these goddamn English CDs for you to say fucking glass. It's glasses. You fucking foreigners come over here, you fuck up the language, and this bitch is fucking up the traffic.
Come down,
glass. You fucking calm down. It's...
Okay.
No idea what that's from.
That's just an excerpt from Alex driving to work.
Yeah, exactly.
That's quite and that one's quite left field. So
okay.
Jesus.
Don't expect anybody to get that one. Okay, so now this is seven.
Releasing the sand turns back time. Only the holder of the dagger is aware of what's happened.
Nice easy one.
Yeah.
Finally.
Question eight.
JG, we got a survivor! It's okay, we're here to help. You seem to be in some sort of...
Okay.
That was just that was just straight from Al Jazeera TV, wasn't it?
Okay, question nine. This is a nice, easy one.
Something wrong, Colonel. Come here, prepare to fight a madman, and instead you found a god.
Oh, I love that film. Fucking love that film.
It's a terrible film. Okay, last question.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. Yep.
A long, long time ago, the Earth was ruled by dinosaurs. They were big, so not a lot of people went around hassling them.
What the hell?
What the fuck is that?
What was that, like Brooklyn's interpretation of evolution? Holy fuck.
Yeah, ironically, yes, that's pretty much what it was.
It goes in as that? Brooklyn's interpretation. Holy, we are, yeah, Peter, I won't get invited back after this.
I've got six, and I'm confident of five.
I have one, and I've entered other words at random.
Fair enough.
And
fair
you
enough.
Must start with Chris for me to score higher.
Okay, question one, then.
I've got no idea.
No, not a clue.
That was Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Doom.
Oh, I refuse to see that film on principle. That
oh, you
is...
should see it. It's
no.
terrible.
Yeah, that's why I'm not going to see it. It's beyond so bad it's good.
Okay, question two?
Is Final Fantasy Spirits Within?
Yes, it is.
Bugger.
That's not a good film either, though. It's all right.
No, I was looking these up because I was thinking, right, I'll do this. I thought of the theme and then I thought, right, I need to know some films for this then. So I was looking it up on Wikipedia earlier, and it lists the Rotten Tomatoes score. And the ones that are listed, there's like 4%, 8%, 13%, I think, was one of the highest. It's like
oh, dear.
It just really illustrates that they do not make good movies from games.
No, they don't.
So, question three.
Is Tomb Raider.
It is Tomb Raider.
I don't know if... Is it the first one?
It's, yeah.
I thought it was, yeah.
Yeah, that just... clip for that was actually taken from the trailer, so I wasn't sure if people would get it.
Yeah, I figured it was by the background sound.
Four, then. Question four.
I got nothing for four.
Nope, nothing.
That was Max Payne. That was Donnie Wahlberg doing his best.
Don't want to see
Batman
that film.
Voice. One, two, three, four, five. Question five.
Is the rather wonderful Mortal Kombat.
It is Mortal Kombat. One of the best movie from a game. So you didn't get that, Mike?
There's a sort of snowy theme to the background of my notepad here. It's just all white with no words entered. I've learned how to count from 1 to 10, Peter, so thanks for that.
Well, at least you've learned something.
Yeah.
That's good.
So then we're on 1, 2, 3, 4... I should have numbered these, really.
Yeah,
6, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I've got nothing for 6.
Oh, 6 was the guy in the car ranting about the woman not moving?
Yep.
That was, the movie was Postal.
Oh, right. Wow, they've done a film. Bloody hell.
That is,
based off an old PC game.
That is rather left field, you're right.
Which was quite left field.
Yeah.
Okay, then, the next one is 7.
It's Prince of Persia.
I have that one.
It is Prince of Persia. That was quite an easy
one. It was a very easy one, to be fair.
He basically describes the mechanics of the game.
Yes. He's like, here's how you play Prince of Persia. You're like, oh, that's probably Prince of Persia.
But do you know what I thought when I found that clip? Why the fuck haven't they made an Assassin's Creed movie yet?
Oh, it's a bit recent, isn't it? Give it time.
Oh, they should definitely get on that.
Style-wise, it would be lovely on screen.
Yeah, it would be. But it might end up being like the Hitman movie.
Possibly. They made those shorts, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
For the marketing for
Brotherhood. They were good. Like that.
They were pretty good.
Although it had nothing to do with the game.
No. Well, they were... That was Ezio's dad that was in those shorts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So,
number eight.
Anyway, back on topic. Question eight.
Is Resident Evil, I think, but I'm not sure.
That's all I have as well.
It is Resident Evil.
Oh, fuck.
Hooray.
I'm amazed anybody got that.
Just because, well, I went by the fact that you were talking about survivors and stuff.
Yeah, it was either that or Alien versus Predator. You know, sort of. I don't know why. It just had that really nasty, crappy action horror feel.
Yeah.
Question nine, then.
Nine is the single best game movie of, like, all time.
Please say Batman.
No, it's amazing. It has Jean-Claude Van Damme in it. It is the amazing Street Fighter.
It is Street Fighter.
Oh, my God.
I fucking love that film.
That's the Guile fighting M. Bison scene.
I know. It is so bad.
That's the craziest line of a film, I think, that I ever know. You came to fight a madman.
Instead, you'll find a god! Like, what?
And that guy's eyes in that movie are crazy as well.
Yep, and Baraka's fucking awesome. Yeah, that film is mental.
Now I want to watch that movie.
I have that movie, I have it on DVD.
I'm proud to say I've not watched it.
I have it on DVD, and I made Dabs watch it once, and I think he hated me afterwards.
Yeah, it's not a good film.
It's so bad, but I adore it. Oh, is that okay, coming up the river? I'm gonna kick your ass. What?
Oh dear, Kylie Minogue's in it too. She's terrible.
Oh god. Oh, Kylie Minogue is in that film. Oh, I have 6 of 10.
I have.
You haven't heard question 10 yet.
What's number 10? I haven't got the answer to it.
You haven't got the answer for question 10?
No.
Well, what did Mike say? It was like Brooklyn's answer to the dinosaurs evolution.
Yeah. What was that all about then?
Well, pretty much that's exactly what it is. That's from the Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, God.
There it is.
That is also not a good
movie. Which is about a man from New York fighting he's from New Jersey, isn't he?
Yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Fighting against weird dinosaurs.
That is also not a good movie.
To be honest, Peter, if you give me 5 points for getting that near, I can win. But anything else... I've got two.
I got 6.
Oh.
I win. Yes.
Chris wins.
For me.
I've just got this nasty habit of getting out a lot.
The fact is, you just have taste. Because none of those films are good films. Like
good taste and social interaction. Like, really fucks with your chances of winning our quizzes.
The other Final Fantasy film is pretty good, but that Final Fantasy is not a good film.
I haven't seen any of them.
Advent Children is alright. It's pretty good. Spirits Within is not good at all.
Well, I'm one of those people that seems to be in a massive, massive minority that thinks they ruined the Final Fantasy series when they made 7.
That was the first one I played, so I don't know. I'd say the one I've really played.
Yeah, 7's the one everybody loves, but I think 6 is my favourite.
I didn't finish it, so I can't really judge it. It's because it had 2 discs and I couldn't be bothered to change it. I think that's what happened.
Oh dear.
Very similar to my attitude to Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah, was it 2 that had 2 discs?
No, Metal Gear Solid had 2 discs. Metal Gear Solid 2 came on DVD because it was a PS2 game.
Oh yes, that's right, yeah.
What was your reason for not changing the discs? Could you not be bothered to get up?
I was just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be dealing with this. I actually think what happened was the second disc was scratched or something like that. And so I got to the end of the first disc and the second disc wouldn't play. I was like, oh, fuck this then.
Do you know what I did? I rented Metal Gear Solid when it first came out all those years ago.
Yeah.
I went to the video shop or the whatever it was and I rented it. And I got home and I played it. And I got to the bit where she says that her frequency on the codec is on the back of the box.
Oh, that's mean.
Yeah.
That is mean. I like
so
that.
So I basically got to a bit in this rented game and got completely fucked.
Yeah.
You're just bashing me on the number to Blockbuster all evening.
Yeah.
Tell me what it is. All right. Time for questions. We have quite a few this week, but not... Well, I don't know. We have a reasonable amount. I'm not going to answer Bar. Colin Barr, I'm not answering your question. Blair says, how often is too often for a series of games? Need for Speed has two coming out this year, and Assassin's Creed is basically going yearly. Will they turn into Guitar Hero?
I think that's a different question, because I think Need for Speed's brand is going to have three outings, but they're three very different games.
Yeah, they are. They just...
It's not the same franchise. It's just using the same. It's using the brand name.
It's just using it. They could easily call them three completely different things and still be the same.
Yeah, the thing is that at the point now they can put Need for Speed on the beginning of a game's title and it will sell better than not having that on the game's title.
Yes, so it's just a marketing decision. Just pure establishment of the brand Need for Speed lends itself a certain degree of credence, and I think if they can then distinguish from each outing throughout the year, then we've seen that the buying public will buy any old shit, let's be honest, guys.
Yeah.
You know, I would be curious to see that games that have scored less than 50, let's say 50% on Metacritic for the sake of the argument, and to see what the top-selling ones are under that, and there's probably some horrors there that make you want to just jack it all in and go back to Tesco's and stack shelves. But I think if they just, if they distinguish it enough, they can just crack on.
I do that about once a week, think about going back to Morrison's. It was a simpler time when I worked at Morrison's.
Yeah.
Stuck meat in trays. It was wonderful. I had a lot of time to think.
Yeah, while you were sticking your meat in things.
Well, I very definitely said I avoided saying I was a meat packer.
Fantastic.
Because I know Tough Cub listens to this. You're right about Need for Speed. What about Assassin's Creed? Assassin's Creed is almost the same thing, because I think Revelations, or whatever it's called, is going to be a very different game.
I don't know. I think generally speaking, yearly for a game is maybe a little bit too frequent for my liking. But Assassin's Creed has the history and the narrative and the backstory to make me want a new one.
And I think the other upside of Assassin's Creed is you could say we've had 2 years, and there was a game the year before that, but it was that PSP game that was quite different.
And not very good.
The outer is Quest or something. Because basically, there has been Assassin's Creed for 4 years in a row now, because you had Assassin's Creed, the PSP one, Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and it looks like there's going to be a fifth game this year. But if you exclude Brotherhood, like, the PSP game is very different. I've got a suspicion Revelations is going to be something a bit different. That's not based on inside information, that's just a hunch. But
yeah, well, we don't know yet with Revelations. I think that Brotherhood, though, was close enough to Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
That not for the storyline progression. For the storyline progression, but it was more an incremental diversion for the narrative rather than a whole big leap.
No, that's totally true.
But it kind of feels there's so much story to tell with Assassin's Creed that I think having that sort of, it sort of branched a bit with Ezio's story into Brotherhood, and now it looks like they're going to include Ezio and Altair in Revelations.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
I think that there's enough story to keep it interesting, and the mechanics of the game once a year is maybe about right. You know, I think I'll maybe be ready for a new Assassin's Creed by the end of this year.
Yeah, I think so. Again,
but I think there will come a point where that burns out and you don't want it anymore.
I mean, again, depending on what it is, I think. I'm not so sure I'm ready for another full Assassin's Creed experience at the end of this year, but I wouldn't mind seeing something.
Yeah. No, I think I'm ready for a whole big new one.
I mean, from my perspective, I know you guys are probably... I've already sort of alluded to it, but if you look at the Lord of the Ring films, each one came out before Christmas for 3 years in a row, and it's as simple as, if you've got a story to tell, then bring it out.
Yeah.
You know, people buy games throughout the year. If the average person spends, let's say, £200 on games a year, what happens if you've got a fantastic game to tell a story twice a year, and you're just absolutely gagging for more, and it's best of class, then, you know, if you ask the entire sort of buying public, do you want another one in 6 months' time because we're nearly ready to rock? Everybody would be like, yes, absolutely. So I think if, you know, I don't want to get started on the whole FIFA sports games roster updates. I'd love all of those to be just DLC and have a new game come out every other year. But with regards to telling the story, yeah, if Assassin's Creed has got it and it's got the gravitas.
And it is basically the only franchise now that has the balls and the pull to go up against Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You know, last year, everything else pulled out. Well, everything moved by a few weeks or put themselves back to March or, you know, other games, people sort of lost their nerve a bit, I think, and rescheduled. Whereas Assassin's Creed has said, no, fuck it, we're going to launch. I think they launched the week before. Yeah.
But is Battle... Davs earlier was saying Battlefield 3 is going up against Call of Duty this year.
Yep.
They're gonna get fucking slaughtered.
Mm, that doesn't strike me as good timing. It's like Assassin's Creed is a totally different game, and it offers an alternative to people who don't want to jump on the Call of Duty bandwagon. But Battlefield 3, that does not strike me as a smart move.
And it's tricky, but EA have got to the point where they want something that can compete with Call of Duty.
I think Battlefield is probably, it could compete, and it's probably going to be better than Call of Duty. However, Call of Duty has the brand power. If you put out a similar game and go head to head with it in the same month, you're just gonna get killed. If Battlefield did it, maybe like Battlefield 4 or something, or like the next Bad Company or something, I think maybe they'd be big enough at that point. But I don't think they've hit it.
They've got to the stage where they want that massive franchise.
Yeah.
And they know that it's gonna be very difficult to do with Call of Duty in the marketplace.
Yeah.
So with Battlefield 3, the impression I get from the sort of statements they're making, the financial stuff that's coming out from them, they seem to be willing to not make any money with Battlefield 3.
Mm.
So they're spending literally hundreds of millions of pounds marketing it. You know, there are adverts for Battlefield 3 on now. It's not out till November.
Yeah, that was fucking crazy. They are spending serious
money advertising that game.
Well, I mean, they started putting out those trailers and I was like, oh, this must be like June, July, something like that. I was like, no, it's November.
Right, so the game recognition they're trying to get now, the momentum that they so desperately want.
They're trying to build momentum and buy the space in the marketplace.
Yeah, but you have to consider that Activision are going to win a money fight, is the thing. I mean, Activision last year to attempt to... do you know what their plan was last year to try and get good press influence at E3? Which their E3 party was literally written off as an advertising expense for Black Ops, and they rented out the Staples Center, which would be the equivalent of they rented out Wembley and got Lady Gaga to come play. And I was like, you're going to lose a money fight if that's what Activision are willing to do to sell their game to the press.
But I think from EA's point of view, it's not even necessarily about going completely head-to-head, but it's about spending money on this one and raising brand awareness as much as you can, so that when this one goes up, this one will go almost directly up against Call of Duty, if Call of Duty sticks to its release schedule. Yeah. So it'll be an almost direct competition, and it might not beat it this time, but for Battlefield 4 next year, or the year after, or whenever they... Well, I suppose it'll have to go yearly now.
Yeah.
The awareness will already be there with the consumers, and you've got a good, solid base that you've paid for last year.
Mm.
So I think the EA only really need to, with this one, they only need to make their presence felt.
Yeah.
And then next year they can talk about maybe beating Call of Duty.
That's true.
It's the same as the Xbox. You know, when the first Xbox came out, Microsoft knew it was going to be an enormous loss leader. And I'm not saying that Battlefield's going to be the same, but they knew that this was a long haul. This was just, you know, this is just a battle and not the war as such. And I think it, although regardless of any tactic they're taking, I wouldn't say impressed, but I'm curious as to see why they are going up against it, as opposed to doing what they're doing now, which is what you guys have already touched on, advertising it nice and early, and then go for the old thunder stealing tactic and bring it out a month before, which is strange that they're happy to really, you know, sort of duke it out.
Yeah, it would actually make way more sense. You release it, you go, okay, well, we're going to pitch it. Like, wait until Call of Duty until Activision have gone, this is the Call of Duty release date, and go, okay, we're like 3 weeks before that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, I think the problem with that is that you also have to take into consideration the holiday market.
That's true.
And the amount of money that's made in the...
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Well, 3 weeks at the end of November.
That's completely
true. So if Call of Duty launches... if Call of Duty announced their launch date for the, say, the end of the first week or the beginning of the second week in November, then they get the run-in, the 4 weeks between then and the middle of December when sales start.
Yeah.
If EA announced their game for the month earlier, then they'll be releasing at the start of October when people aren't spending money because they're saving for Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
And they'll take a big hit in sales that way. There is only really a month that people really hugely benefit from the holiday sales period.
That's true.
And Call of Duty has monopolised that for the past 3 years.
Yep.
Yes, you have to fight them on their turf, obviously, just by seeing what, well, it's like what you know, Greg did with the article on TSA, and it was what Nintendo and Microsoft made, what was it, half of their year's money in a quarter on software.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can't stray too far from that sweet spot.
Yeah.
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 It's as much as the release schedule is evening out and we're getting games through the summer now, yeah. And it's still very much very, very weighted towards the end of the year. Yeah, in the West,
very true. Next question. Josh L. Hood says, we kind of answered this. Although Brotherhood was the best in the series so far, do you believe Assassin's Creed can continue to be awesome every year? We kind of answered that, and I think the general consensus is yes, it probably can.
Yeah. Even if they release this new game and it's not very good, I still want the story from it.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to know, I need to know what happens next. They've hooked it. It's one of the best written games I've played in a very long time.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Nemesis, how do you say his name, Mike?
Phil.
Phil.
yeah.
Just say Phil. Nemesis. I actually call him Nemesis Wonderboy, which makes me feel there's a whole sort of Y fronts on the outside look to him.
But his N is in the wrong place.
I know. No. Don't try and pronounce it like that. Just make it up, mate. He's going to kill me for that, isn't he?
Phil says, when am I going to be on Never because you're my arch enemy?
Good answer. Did he answer that for you?
His nemesis.
You are literally my nemesis. We talk about this all the time. I'm never coming on. It'd be a fucking, there'd be a fight to the death or something.
I'm impressed I'm here. So seriously, having Phil on would be like, I don't know, it'd be like taking a bow like the Sony top brass, but in prison, and then having your size 3 sphincter turned into a size 6 sphincter. I don't know what I'm on about tonight. Sorry, guys. I think I need some alcohol. I think it's because I've got the balcony door shut and the oxygen's starting to run out.
It's carbon monoxide.
There is every chance at the end of the podcast I'm going to open the door and my eyeballs are just going to fly forward off the fourth story. Sorry, mate, go on.
Yeah, I think having Phil on would be kind of like crossing the streams.
Yeah, it'd be too much.
Yeah.
Just too powerful.
Like two blokes with a urinal.
Kevatron400, who I shouldn't call that. His name's Kevadsa. And he lives that, if you want to go stalk him. Peter started playing Pokemon at the same time as me. I'd not played a Pokemon game since Red. How is he getting on? I assume you haven't actually played it.
Why would you assume that?
Because we don't do anything we say we're going to do on this podcast. Because we all know that as soon as we're finished recording this podcast, we forget everything we've said.
I because of Blair's presence and your... What do you call that when you persuaded me? Your persuasiveness?
Nagging, I think, is the correct
word. Yeah, I was trying to be polite. I was desperately searching for a word that wasn't nagging. I went and bought Pokemon White, and I played it for, I think I've put about 5 hours in the first week, but I haven't touched it since then. So
I figured that would probably be roughly the answer.
Yeah, I keep thinking, actually, I must go back to it, because it was quite enjoyable, as much as it is basically kids... Dogfighting with funny little monsters.
It is basically kids dogfighting. It's true.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, Creepy Liam says...
Creepy Liam, the pervert.
Creepy Liam says, what would you do in the event of a zombie apocalypse? I'm talking slow-moving, biting zombies, not infected people.
Okay.
I'll answer that.
Yes.
Just stick with me. I'm a fucking machine. I've racked up 340 hours on Left 4 Dead. It's
we'll be fine then.
And, you know, I'm not a hardcore gamer, but no, seriously, that's so strange.
340 hours.
Mate, it's fantastic.
That's a lot of Left 4 Dead,
isn't it? Just it's been. That's the thing. You see, I don't think I have an addictive bone in my body with regards to sort of must play this game, must do that, must do this. It's just not me. It's not my personality type. But once again, I've just settled with wonderful banter, wonderful fun, and actually grown to know people. And sort of, you know, care about them and chat with them. I mean, I've had so many chats, Like recently, I've had two chats over the sort of 3 week Easter period as such to 6 in the morning with the likes of Matt and Adam and Hanny. And we've all got to know each other at such a level. Without trying to sound soppy, it's quite beautiful. So yeah, I'm happy doing that, happy sticking with that. So when it comes to a zombie apocalypse, I'll be all right.
All right, well, that's my answer. I'm fucking sticking with Mike.
Seriously, and... yeah. And Chris, I tell you what, honestly, there's a Morrison's just 10 yards away. So come down.
I'm perfectly happy there.
Yeah, and throw your meat treats out to them.
Yeah, sorted. Well, if they're slow moving zombies, can you just kind of walk away?
I've got a car.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not an issue at all.
There's a petrol station, there's a car, and do you know what? Wales is really hilly. It's only ever been invaded twice in the history of everything. So I don't reckon zombies would look at a hill and just think, fuck that.
To be fair, though, is that at least partly because no one really wants to invade Wales that much?
Well, there's a lot to be said for that, obviously, and I can understand why people like me perched in Cardiff might scare you all away. But seriously, zombies looking uphill, they'd be straight off to Bristol to nom on a child's arm compared.
Yeah. And he also says, second question, Mike, would you be happy to do an audiobook with Peter and then some creepy stuff that I don't want to read out?
Chris, you can't do that. You can't tease them. I want to hear
also,
the creepy stuff.
Also, Mike, would you be able to do an audiobook with Peter? If not, threesome, my place, later, good shit.
I'm on for that, Peter.
He's a dirty pervert. Bang. We'll take an end.
Banksy tops. Oh, right, okay, fine. Here we go.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, seriously, I'm going for it. As long as I get to stand near the curtains as a blast shield, then I'm...
So, yeah, would you guys do an audiobook together?
Only if it's hardcore porn.
We're just reading out like a porn script.
That'd be fantastic, yeah. Peter. You and I just doing the voiceover work. yeah, maybe. Faust und mein Arsch. Oh, no, and I can't say that. If people know German, they'll know what I've just said. Sorry. I'm really sorry. But yeah. Yeah, let's do that. I think we should do that. What the hell would we do, Peter? I mean, I entered that competition and I read out the little bit of, what was it called? Little Red Riding Hood by the Brothers Grimm. You know, it was all really nicely delivered and so on and so forth. But when it comes down to it, I think any story. It's no good. It's like a podcast with you guys. You just end up giggling like a couple of twats for an hour and a half.
It'd be terrible.
Wouldn't it just be awesome?
It'd be fucking awful.
We'd have to, do you remember when we did... Were you with us at that time, Chris, when we did the audio play for that?
Yeah, I did that. Me and Davs did bits of it. It was brilliant. It was fun to record.
Yeah, that was so much fun when Lewis wrote the Abridged Too Far for Fallout 3. And we all recorded our pieces and then he put it all together and played it like a little radio
play. I had to do a really bad butler accent. You know, like cut glass accent. It's terrible. I can't do it. I can't do accents. Awful.
Oh, we should do that again.
We need to get Lewis to write something. Maybe that's what he can do while he's dying.
If you need an evil laugh, I think I'm your man. People do tell me that.
You've got the right kind of depth to your voice.
I've got the resonance to scare children. Boom. It's fantastic.
The boom.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the end of the podcast. God, I hate this bit now without Lewis. I don't know what to do.
It's like an hour and 20 minutes.
I know,
that's
confusing and scary.
It's quite decent.
We'll have to give people their money back.
I don't know. People complain if it's too long.
Like they pay for this.
Oh, yeah. Come on, people pay. But then a separate group of people complain when it's too short.
Yeah.
I hate them all. Well, I don't know what to do.
All I was going to say was, this is just a nice length, and if you like this shorter or longer, just speed it up or slow it down, you fuckers.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Use your brain. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, actually,
Let's think outside the box.
Yeah.
If you play audiobooks on my iPod Touch, it's got like a 2x button, so you can make it twice as fast.
There we go.
So you can just kind of abridge your audiobooks yourself by just making them speak really quickly.
Yeah, seriously, if you like a short podcast, pick us up to squirrel speed. Or if you like a long podcast, slow us down so my voice vibrates the poo out of your bottoms.
Lovely.
Wait until Mike hits the brown mode.
Oh my god.
Oh god.
Colonic irrigation with Bunny Momon.
Oh, that's pleasant. I have been, as normal, your host, Chris Lipscomb. You can find me at twitter.com/HalPro. I've been joined, as per normal, by Peter Chapman, who you can find at twitter.com/ColossalBlue. And
Bringer of Chaos and Destroyer of Worlds.
Yeah, Chaos and Destroyer of Worlds. And we have also been joined this week by the rather lovely Mike. What's your set of Williams, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mike Williams. By the way, Mike, who is filling in?
Fuck's sake! Do you want to give out his address and phone number as well?
Filling in for Lewis. Yeah, that's all right. He's in Wales somewhere.
The man's on the run, Chris.
You can find me on the sex register or a playground near you, or Twitter. Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's no Twitter. Fun if you don't give them a shout first, like a day's notice before you go in. Hello, I'm your new supply teacher.
Oh, lovely. Okay, thank you everyone for joining us. This has been episode 17 of the Oscar Mike Media Appeal.
Something Chris couldn't say.
Because I'm slightly drunk now. This has been episode 17 of the Oscar Mike Media Podcast. Thank you, Varun, very much for listening. Thank you again, Mike, for coming back and filling
in. My pleasure,
in.
Mate. My pleasure. I hope Lewis gets well soon as well, though.
Yeah. We hope you get better soon, Lewis.
You've had one glass of white wine, Chris, and you're getting a bit tipsy. Are you like a hairdresser from Chiswick or something?
It's because all I eat at the minute is salad. I've got nothing in my body. I've limited myself to salad, and I hate it.
You could have blacked months of mispronunciations on alcohol, and only now have you worked it out.
Yeah, it's true. So say goodbye, everyone. That's the end. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye.
Well, I was going to ask you guys if you'd voted.
I did vote, actually.
No, sorry.
You didn't vote?
You didn't vote, Mike.
No, I just...
Is that because people in your legal predicament aren't allowed to?
Just happy to have the day out, to be honest, Peter. Without a tag. No, it's I've had more than enough on my plate, and I've noticed when with running my own business, you know what it's like with TSA stuff. Even though you've been good enough to vote, I've just sat here and thought, I just need to concentrate on this, and the world will continue spinning, hopefully, afterwards. Mm. And what I'll do is I'll not be a sort of hypocrite and pipe up with strong political views on the forum. And then someone will say, have you voted, Mike? No, well, shut up then. No, I'll
say. Well, to be fair, it's only local council. They don't do much, do they?
Yeah, it's all about who takes your bins out.